Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 67. I just always love hearing the reports from our missions teams when they go out and when our missionaries come back. It's such an encouraging reminder for us to know that we're not alone here in Sheboygan. We're not alone here in Michigan, in the United States. We're not alone in the world. God is working everywhere in the world, and it's just so encouraging. And what's more is that God has chosen to use us to work in the world. That's astounding to me, that God has chosen to work through each and every one of us to bring glory to his name. And I just find that so amazing and so humbling. And this truth, I think, is so clearly seen in this psalm, Psalm 67. At its simplest, this psalm is a psalm of thanksgiving for the harvest. We see that in verse 6. But the heart of this psalm is so much greater than that. It's about missions. It's about making God known throughout the world. And this psalm teaches us two major things in the scope of missions. And the first is that God blesses his people to make himself known throughout the earth. We see this in verses 1 and 2. It says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on the earth, your saving power among all nations." Verse 1 is a prayer of blessing that is actually taken from Numbers chapter 6. This blessing is commonly known as the Aaronic blessing because God specifically gave it to Aaron and his sons, the priests of Israel, to use when blessing the children of Israel. Here it is in full in Numbers 6, verses 22 through 27. He says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, Thus shall you bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they may put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." And I just love that God gave Israel this special blessing. This is how he wants to bless Israel. These are the things that he wants to do for them. He will be with them. He will keep them. He will make his face to shine upon them, and he will be gracious to them. He will give them peace. And for the first, part of this blessing's existence, the people of Israel are saying, "This is for us. This is a special blessing that God gives to us. It's not for the entire world. It's for us. It's for Israel." But that's not what the psalmist is saying here. He's writing that this blessing is for a purpose. And that purpose is to make God's name known throughout the earth. God is blessing Israel so that other nations will look at them and see that blessing, and his name will be spread. It's a missional blessing. And we see this, this is exactly what God promised to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. From the very first time God called Abraham, he says, it's not just going to be you, Abraham. It's going to be the entire world. This is Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" And I just love seeing this because God's blessing is never intended for just one people group. It's intended for the world. God loves the world. And he chose to use Abraham to make his love and his blessing seen through. throughout the world so that others can see that and come to know him. In Jesus, we see Jesus brings the fulfillment of this promise. All the nations of the world are blessed because God used Abraham to bring Jesus into the world. And I love that Jesus doesn't lose sight of this, that he's not just ministering to the Jewish people. He comes to minister to the world, to bless the world. I love what he says in John 10, verses 14 through 16. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. And then he says this, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. It's not just one country. It's not just one people group. It's the world. God blessed the Jews to bless the world. They were his chosen instruments to bring Christ into the world. And now the church is his chosen instrument to take his gospel to the ends of the world. It's our job to make sure that everyone hears the gospel. When I was studying for this sermon, I was reminded of John Winthrop. And if you don't know who John Winthrop was, he was a Puritan leader and one of the founders of the Massachusetts Bay Colony. And this is from his famous sermon, A Model of Christian Charity. I mean, this is a really long and powerful sermon about how Christians should relate to one another, how they should love one another and show grace to one another. But he concludes with this quotation. He says, "The Lord will be our God and delight to dwell among us as his own people and will command a blessing upon us in all our ways, so that we shall see much more of his wisdom, power, goodness, and truth than formerly we have been acquainted with. We shall find that the God of Israel is among us when 10 of us shall be able to resist 1,000 of our enemies, when he shall make us a praise and glory that men shall say of succeeding plantations, may the Lord make it like that of New England. For we must consider that we shall be as a city upon a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us." Winthrop knew that when God blesses a people, eyes are watching. They see it. The world sees when God blesses someone. And he's urging his people, the people on the ship with him, to live in a way that is worthy of that blessing and to continue to live right so that people will see us and know who God is. And that's just such a powerful reminder of that, that God blesses us so that we can make his name great. He blesses us so that he will make himself known throughout the earth. That's the first thing we can see from this psalm. The second thing we see from this psalm is that God will give us all that we need to do our part in fulfilling the Great Commission. We see this in the last two verses of Psalm 67. He says, "The Lord has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him." That is such an easy part of this psalm to overlook, because it's talking about the harvest. It's saying the earth has yielded its increase. We had a bountiful harvest. God bless us. But we see what the psalmist is saying is the God blessed us in this way because that's what we needed to make his name great. He gave them what they needed. And he does the same for us. I mean, just think about when Christ gave us the Great Commission. He promises to be with us. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. This is it. This is the Great Commission. This is right before Jesus returns to heaven. And Jesus came to them and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." He starts by saying, "I have all authority in heaven. It has been given to me, all authority in heaven and on earth. I have this power. I have this right to commission you in this way." With that authority that he has, he says, "Go, make disciples." And he doesn't say, "Do it alone." He says, "I am with you always to the end of the age." Christ is with us. He gives us strength to do what he wants us to do. I don't remember if I've shared this story with you or not, but if I have, you're going to hear it again. When I was a sophomore in high school, we went on this missions trip to Mississippi. And it was right after Hurricane Katrina had hit that area. And so a lot of the time we spent was, you know, doing beach cleanup and that kind of thing during the day. But at night, we ran a vacation Bible school for the kids in the area. And one of the first things we did when getting ready to go on the trip, before we even left, we were still deciding, you know, if we were even going to go on the trip, getting the team ready, we had to fill out these little questionnaires. You gave a brief testimony on it, that kind of stuff. And there was also a place for us to write our perceived strengths and weaknesses. And see, I made a mistake when writing down my weaknesses, because I only wrote down one. And clearly that was a mistake, because the youth pastor decided that he was going to use this trip to push us out of our comfort zones. So if I had written a lot, I might not have gotten this one. But I wrote down public speaking because it was the one thing I didn't want to do. And here I stand. But the one thing I didn't want to do was public speaking. So it's just like, if I put that down, he'll make me do something else that I might not want, but at least it's not this. Wrong. I'm in front for the VBS. I'm running the whole VBS for this whole week. And I was just like, you have got to be kidding me. But looking back on that mission trip, I can honestly say that I came back changed. I grew up in the church. I knew all of the answers. You know, I grew up in Sunday school, all of that stuff. But I can't honestly say that I had experienced the true life-changing power of Jesus Christ until that moment when I knew that I couldn't do it on my own. And the first day of our VBS on that trip was a disaster. Anything that could go wrong went wrong. And as a group, and we didn't even have our adult chaperones with us when we did this, we just knew that what we were doing wasn't working. And so we came together and we just prayed. A group of teenagers came together and we prayed. And the difference that that made when we said, "God, we can't do this." And he equipped us. And it was just such an amazing result after that first day. And that's just such a powerful reminder that God works through us. We don't have to do it on our own. We have a God who is always there, who is always working inside of us. There are two things I think that Jesus taught his disciples that I think that are so important for us to see here. And the first one is in Luke chapter 12. He says, this is verse 11 and 12. "And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." Now, it's unlikely that any of us are going to be dragged in front of a synagogue in our lifetime. But it is so comforting to know that we have a the Holy Spirit with us. And when we get put in these places, He will speak through us. When we get put in stressful situations where we're going to have to defend ourselves, where we're going to have to search for the words to say, the Holy Spirit is there for us. And this isn't an excuse to not study your Bible because you're like, oh, the Holy Spirit will just tell me. It's not an excuse to be empty-headed. It's a promise to not be anxious because He is there for us. He is there to comfort us in those times. That's the first thing I want us to see. The second thing is in John 16, verses 12 and 13. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. The Holy Spirit is here to guide us. This whole chapter is about how the Holy Spirit works in us, John 16. You can just continue to read about it. But it's such an amazing thing that Jesus goes as far as to say that it is to our advantage that the Holy Spirit, or that He leaves the earth so that the Holy Spirit will come. Jesus is saying it is better for the church, for Christians, that I leave in this bodily form and the Holy Spirit comes. Because the Holy Spirit indwells every believer and He gives us strength. He guides us. And that's just such a comfort for us to know. He does not expect us to figure it out all on our own. He doesn't expect us to fulfill the Great Commission on our own strength. No. He gives us the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, to help us do our job. I just want to close with one more passage from Paul. Paul is the greatest missionary who ever walked the earth. And this is what he says in Romans chapter 10, verses 12 through 15. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call upon Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. That's such a powerful statement that Paul makes here. And I just love that we know that God has chosen to work this way. Now, if He wanted to, God could have appeared to everyone the way that He appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. If He had wanted to, that's what He could have done. He could have cut evangelism completely out of the church if that's what He wanted to do. But He didn't. He chose to work through us. He chose to share this joy with us. This incredible opportunity to share in the work of the Lord. To bring glory to His name. To make Him known throughout the earth. It's such an incredible task that we have been given. And I hope that you are inspired this morning, that you will have this perspective to be mission-minded, that Christianity is not just for you, it's not just yours, but that you will share it with others, that you will seek to share the blessings that you have been given with those around.